Well, let's, if you have your Bible with you, you can grab a, open it up. We're going to look into the Christmas story today. The message title today is, Behold the Gold. Behold the Gold. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, the Word of God says, In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. Most of us don't think of gold in this chapter. We think of gold in the other chapter, which is Matthew, when the wise men come. And the wise men come and they have gold and they have frankincense and they have myrrh. And they come and they bow and they worship the Lord with their gifts. And the gold represents, it's more like a represents a kingly aspect, like you bring gold to the king. And the frankincense is more of a picture of intercession of a high priest that would come and intercede. And Jesus came as the King of Kings, and it came as the high priest to intercede and go in our place. And myrrh, it was less expensive a little bit than the frankincense, but it was also used as an embalming agent. Wow. So that's maybe a symbolic of his death to come, right? So Jesus comes as the king who intercedes for us, dies in our place. All seen right there, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But then he rises from the dead, and now he's the King of Kings on high. He's also the high priest who makes intercession for us. And he calls for you and me to come and die to our old way of life and to rise up, and we become kings in him and priests. In the book of Revelation, it says we are kings and priests unto our God. Somebody praise the Lord. This is who we are in Jesus. This is who we are in Jesus. And that pictures that. But we're not used to look, we're more used to looking at the gold being there. But I want to invite you to look at gold in a little bit more of a this passage here. And I have one verse up here. This is the gold. This is it. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. So be it to me according to your word. This is a gold nugget of truth that's packed with character-shaping revelation. I don't know if Mary actually heard the verse in the Old Testament. I'm certain we're not told if she was or not, but she was this moment was prophesied in Isaiah 7, verse 12. It says, Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's the song we were singing just a minute ago. Emmanuel means God with us. Everybody say God with us. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. It doesn't matter. God's with you. You can't go far enough away. God seeks you out to the uttermost, and as we say around here, to the guttermost. He always seeks you down. He knows where you are. No matter what trouble you're in, no matter what kind of thing you're facing, the Lord is on your side, and he's for you, and he's not against you. It's the spirit of condemnation that comes to be against you. It's the things that you've done wrong and you shot yourself in your own foot. That's what's against you. But the Lord has taken all that upon himself to break its power and rule over you. And that's his desire, to make you strong and to come and show himself strong in your behalf. Mary, I don't know if she ever heard that verse, but Mary responded to the Lord And the word servant here is a real unique word. It's the word is the female version of the word doulos, it's doule. And it means a bond slave who is bound to do what she's told to do. A servant is further research of the word means one who worships God and submits to Him. One who gives himself up wholly to another's will. The servant of the Lord. Jesus was a servant of the Lord. He gave himself up. The Bible says, Behold, I've come to do your will, O God. It is written of me in the scroll of the book. The full, complete will of God. Jesus suffered doing it. He ended up in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out and praying, not my will, but thine be done. He was, how many of you have run into your own will on occasion? And the sense of things, I got to die to something and I really don't want to die to it. And Jesus gave up his own sense of self-sufficiency at that moment and his self, you know, relying on who he was. He had to submit over, and it says that he learned obedience through suffering. Jesus, the Son of God, learned obedience through suffering. And there he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the servant of the Lord, facing the contest of his own soul. It says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Modeling for us those fights in our Gethsemanes. Gethsemane means oil press. The places where things, life is wrenching it out of you and you don't know what to do. And you feel like giving up and giving it and walking away. And you're in your Gethsemane. And you come to the Lord and you say the same thing Jesus did as you imitate Jesus. You come and do what Jesus said, did. And you say, not my will, but thine be done. And somehow in the midst of that, a divine strength begins to come and enter your soul. Because at that moment, an angel was sent to Jesus and strengthened him for the crucifixion and what he would have to go through for us to die for us. And then Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. It is finished. What was finished? He had paid for your debt and my debt in full. He had suffered and poured it all out and died in our stead. It affirms to us our supreme value in His eyes, that you and I are of great worth to God, that He would give His own Son. The death of His own Son. He would sacrifice His own Son. And Jesus would willingly go and die in your place. That somehow begins to create an affection in our heart. To begin to awaken our souls to understand that we are loved by God to a place where He sacrifices who He is for us. And not only does it, but gives us a motive to do it. A model to do it. Jesus went the distance. In this story, Mary goes full term. But Mary doesn't just go full term with the pregnancy. That's the terminology we use for a pregnancy. But she goes full term with her life. There was a time when Jesus said, my mother and my brothers and my sisters are those who do the will of God. And Mary had to make some readjustments in her own soul. And later she was standing right under the cross when Jesus was on the cross. And John and Mary were there. And she looked down and said, John, behold your mother. And Mom, behold your son. In other words, somebody else is going to take care of you now, Mom. And then later on the day of Pentecost, the power of God came. Mary was in the 120 there and received the fullness of the Spirit. Just like James, who wrote the book of James, was a half-brother of Jesus. And Jude, who was a half-brother of Jesus, who was, his name was Judas, but after Judas did what Judas did, everybody didn't want to be called Judas. So Jude wrote the book of Jude, and those were half-brothers of Jesus. And they turned and they lived out their life in full commitment, saying, I am the servant of the Lord, so be it to me according to your word. Paul lived that life too. Paul said, I've come to the end. He said that when he came to the end of his travel, he says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In the Old Testament, we have all kinds of people, Abraham, Moses, David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all servants of the Lord. Everybody say, I am the servant of the Lord. Hey, look at somebody and say, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. So be it to me according to your word. So be it to me according to your word. I believe that this is the gold nugget. I believe that this is what, when it says, behold the gold, I believe this is, and this is why. We see in the text that God provides the context in our, what we read a minute ago, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth to the virgin betrothed. And it says God, so God provides a context, including the time and the place. He knows your personal history. He knows where you are and his plans to come through your life. He knows exactly the events that surround your life. We could say, on the third day of the 12th month, the gathering sanctuary, when City Church gathered, the Lord came with a message and spoke to my heart. He knows exactly where you are. He comes with an affirming witness. And he, since he knows, what is that? What is the message? The message is this: greetings, O favored one. Greetings, O favored one. She was greatly troubled at the saying, and he says, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor in his sight. So God comes with affirming words. It's amazing how God does that. He has to come with affirming words so often to us, doesn't he? He came to with affirming words to Gideon. Gideon was hiding out in the wine press trying to shake some wheat loose and for something to eat. And he comes and says, oh, mighty man of valor. He says, who, me? I'm the least of the least. How many of you have wrestled with your own self-image before God? And when God wants to do something big in you, he comes to make some adjustments in how you look at yourself. He wants you to look at yourself the way he looks at you. He wants your eyes to see who you are in his eyes. He wants your mind to be shaped by who he says you are to him. And there's something of value that begins to come up in your life when that happens. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. I bet you we could spend the rest of the day with testimonies where the whispers of the Holy Spirit came and God began to work his favor into your soul and you begin to change according to those touches. Isn't it true? How many have had the Lord whisper something to you and do something so profound in your life that nobody could take it away? This is one of those moments. Nobody can take away from Mary this encounter where it says, you are highly favored of the Lord. You and I are highly favored. I love this verse. It says, anyone who loves the Lord knows them. I think it's 1 Corinthians 8:3 or somewhere in there. The Lord knows all who love him. If you've shot up a little, I love you, Lord, the Lord knows. Isn't that wonderful? Last few days, I went out to, with the grandkids to a little playground, and the seat was kind of up here. I was sitting up, and when I got off, my back went, and I went, oh! Have you ever had a misstep where you go, that, I don't feel good? Advil was my friend after that, I'd let you know. And ice, and I put ice on my back, and I thought, oh my gosh, and I thank God I had the sense to begin working on the message on Thursday. And then and some Friday morning, and then Friday afternoon, I'm like laid up. And then Saturday, I got to ice my back and a lot of prayer and saying, Jesus. And then we get a word from a friend, an email from a friend. And the email from the friend said, there has been a spirit of foreboding that's been taunting you. And Heather and I rose up in prayer. You know, sometimes you're just fuzzy about the warfare that's coming against your life. And somebody else can trumpet a word into your heart and you awaken something in you. And we stood up and said, in the name of Jesus, we will not have this work of darkness in our life. How many of you had things that come in and press in upon you and want to cause you to give up? Today, that's overthrown in the name of Jesus. Let's praise him. Go ahead and praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. The adversary wants to cripple you, wants to cause you to be in pain, wants to put you down, but Jesus Christ
You are his special favorite. Just tell somebody, I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. Just like Mary, I'm his favorite. I'm a favored one. Praise the Lord. And then he comes with this exact, this is all the things that God brings. God brings to you through this text. He brings to me. He says, I know exactly where you are and what you're going through, and I favor you, and now I want you to know what I want to do with your life. And with Mary, it was, God says, here's your actual purpose in life, the bringing forth of Jesus Christ through your life to impact those around you. Does it sound like what he wants to do through your life? The bringing forth of Jesus Christ through your life to impact those around you. For those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, those he called. And who he called, he justified. And who he justified, he glorified. And you and I are called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, when he comes up in this verse, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. So let it be to me according to your word. That spirit and attitude inside of you will cause you all your lifetime to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And then he provides, I love this, he says, God provides the means too. The means are this, the capacity of his promise, or the capacity of his word, and the capacity of the Holy Spirit. He says, how's this going to happen? He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You and I are designed for the breath of God to be breathing us regularly. You and I are designed that we can't go through life without that spiritual component of God going, whew, inside of you. There's two breaths. There's the breath, the human breath, and it says, don't pay attention to man who's only got the breath of his nostrils. What can he do? But you and I are made to have the breath of God go inside of us. There has to be that component of your life, or you dry up and shrivel up. Somebody came to me this morning and said, I really need to be here. I said, you need to be here every time we're here. Because there's the breath of the Lord that comes and causes you to rise up and be equipped in a way that you couldn't be before. You and I need the breath. We need the breath. You need the worship at home. Worship here. You need the breath. You need the touch. Every day you need to have something happen inside of you where you open up to him and let him breathe his life afresh. How many of you know the adversary assaults the intimacy that you desire to have? But when you choose to have those intimate moments, oh my God, hey, you're highly favored and the Lord's working out his life in you. Praise the Lord. And then, I love this, he says, not only is the Holy Spirit coming upon you, I wanted to let you know that your relative, Elizabeth, was barren. And she'd been barren her whole life, and she's an old age. And she's got a baby growing inside of her. An affirming witness. Not only is Gabriel come and say, God's going to do a miracle work in you, but he's also already started in your relative. And there's always somebody around that God's already working in. Are you that person around where God's starting a new work in somebody and you show up and I remember hanging out with this guy one time and he was like, I was all young, I was all excited about the Lord. I was really excited about the Lord. He thought I was a new believer. And into the conversation, he found out I'd known the Lord for over 30 years. And he goes, and the Lord began to use my witness of my excitement about Jesus to actually correct his soul. He thought the older you get with the Lord, you kind of just fuddy-dud and dry out. He goes, oh my God, you're not brand new. No, the Lord has to make me brand new all the time. Yeah. He has to breathe the life in me to keep me going. Old is a state of mind. That's why I love Ted. Ted's the youngest guy in the room. I don't know if he's 80 or 8 or 18. I don't know. But he's got the Spirit of the Lord breathing in his life. This is who we are. were people dependent upon the breath of God. And God says, I've got somebody right nearby, an affirming witness. I not only have favor on your life, and I've got a plan to cause Jesus to manifest through your life and to grow through your life and to impact people. It's already happening in somebody else nearby. And then he has this decree he declares, this amazing decree. For nothing is impossible with God. Let's go ahead and say it. For nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. God wants to do miracle dimensions of work in your soul, and nothing is impossible with him. This season, God wants to break off the shackles and set you loose, and nothing is impossible with him. Not a thing. It doesn't matter how long you've been in that place. Jesus is not concerned about that. I want to tell you something. He's in eternity. Can I tell you? You know, look, this is amazing thing about God. When you're in eternity, you see all of time at once. He knows the times I really messed up and was the worst of myself. And you know what he did? Instead of continually looking at that, he shed his blood and gave me the opportunity to wash it from his sight. So I'm made new. I don't have to carry the shame of my failures because Jesus, now he looks at that place and he sees me and him together, redeemed. Just tell the Lord, that's my Jesus. Come on, that's my Jesus. Let's better than that. Let's say, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. Let's say that again. Let it be to me according to your word. This is so profound and so helpful. And what this, see, everything that he brought, he comes and he provides the context of your life and the favor and the promise and the word of God and the Holy Spirit and affirming witness. And then he says, I'm going to just decree on you, nothing can go wrong because I'm here. And then what do you come with? You come with your gold. You come and you say, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. In other words, my life is about what you're about. I'm not living in the world system. I'm living under you. Let it be to me according to your word. I'm going to tell you what that does. When you say you're the servant of the Lord, you're saying this: you're the Lord and I'm not. And I submit to you as my Lord. And I want the full counsel of your word to be in my life for all of my life. How many of you have enough of the world? You know, let me say, you can just be guzzling down the slop of the world and then burp him up. You'll go burp. You say, oh, God will forgive me. All the while shaming the very grace that he's given to for you to live above all of that. He wants to do a work in you and I, and to break that independence and to break that pride and to break that selfishness and to bring those things down so that we have a life that is filled with what he wants. Let's go ahead and tell him that. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. If you're facing a struggle right now, it might just very well be because you've already in your flesh and in your mind, and you're trying to figure it all out, have gone down the road a piece without God's word being the governing thing of your life. If you're having marital difficulties, if you're having financial difficulties, if you're whatever difficulties you're having, go open that Bible and let your life be shaped by what's in that word. It doesn't feel good sometimes. I'm telling you, I have been worked over. How many of you have been worked over? Just to come into this place and worship God is a working over. People come in and go, they're singing out loud and acting like God's real. Jiminy Christmas. Who are these strange people? They're actually turning and praying with them. Yeah, you know why? Because I've been worked over. I found out I had needs. I found out I had needs, and there's a God who loves me, and he's worthy of my worship. He's the Lamb of God that was slain and died for me. Now he's worthy because he's exalted in the heavens, and I know who he is, and you can know who he is, and you can have the same breath of that heaven come into your soul and have the work of that same God, same Lord Jesus Christ, begin to work his spirit and life inside of you. Those preparing communion,
We're going to have communion. Now I got to skip ahead here. Man, I feel good. Let's just acknowledge the Lord right now. Say, I'm the servant of the Lord. I'm the servant of the Lord. So be it to me according to your word. You're given an opportunity today to kick your pride in the teeth. Will you do it? You're being given an opportunity today to overthrow an independent attitude and say, I'm all in for Jesus. I'm not an orphan. I'm a purchased son of the living God. I'm the servant of the Lord. You have an opportunity to let everything that's been pressing into your mind this season be thrown down and have the pure, overwhelming light of His love come into your life. Let me get one of those two. Can I get one before you take off there? What we're going to do is invite everybody to take a portion. Now look, if you don't know the Lord, this is a worthless thing. And if you don't want to walk the Lord's way, this is a worthless thing. In fact, the Bible says don't even do it if you're not going to walk with Him and open up to Him. People got in trouble for not taking of the Lord's body worthily. But if you are here today and you're saying, I need more of what Jesus is in my life, this is for you. When you take communion, that's going to leave you. What you shared with me, that's going to leave. When you take communion today, that temptation is going to leave. It's going to leave. It's going to leave. The Lord showed me that right now. It's going to break and it's going to go. Okay? This is your day. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord's saying, I am your victor. I am your captain. Yeah, go ahead and take it down. We can all take it in a minute, but He couldn't wait. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, let's go ahead and partake. Partake. Paul said, I beg you. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice. I don't want you conformed to the world. I want you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And today is a renewing of your mind. This is what your mind is being renewed with today. You're declaring to your soul that you're the servant of the Lord. And that your life is going to be shaped by being one of those lives that says, let it be to me according to your word. And when you choose that life, there comes the work of the Holy Spirit as a sword to separate things out. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is a double-edged sword. And it pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The sword of the Lord comes, and there are struggles that you and I have. We have a kind of a struggle where we're not certain, is this God or is this me? Is that right? You have those times? How many of you have those times? And the word of God will come and discern that. Is this God or is this me? Even better than that, I've had times when I've just really, really, really liked sin. How many of you just had something going on with sin? You know, just like, sin is my buddy. Who's your buddy? Who's your pal? You are, because you're my comforter in my time of need. And the Holy Spirit comes and He brings that sword of the Lord and He says, I'm going to separate this out from your soul and I'm going to divide this and I'm going to show you that there's a spiritual component that I'm going to break and cut out this fleshly part of your life and give you victory over it. It's amazing. Let's lift a cup. I know some of you are partaking already, but that's all right. Oh, man. Okay, wow. I know the Lord said this before, but He just flashed this in my heart. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to do a work because you've made a doom decree today. You said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And there have been words that you have spoken. And those words are, I'm a loser, I'm lousy, I'm no good. Whatever yours are, wherever your tongue has spoken evil against your life, we're going to ask the blood of Jesus to wash that away from you. The power of this blood is going to give you a new release on life to begin speaking positive things over your soul than instead of the negative things. Are you in? Because this is who, look. God provided everything else. All Mary had to do was show up and say, so be it to me according to your word. And then all the resources of heaven went right in. And she began to grow that baby inside. And you and I come today, and the work of Jesus Christ begins to grow inside of us. And there are new affections that God wants to put into your heart that cause you to grow up and out of things that have been a bondage to your life. He'll cause you to come out of that place because of the power of this blood. You want to wash your mouth out with soap? No, let's wash it out with the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Let's partake together. In the name of Jesus, we break every curse that we've spoken. In the name of Jesus, we speak every ill word that we've spoken. We break it in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus Christ overthrow every foul work of hell, everything that we've given place to with our own tongues. Sickness, you go. You're not going to stay. You got to go. In Jesus' name, sin, you're ruled over. You cannot stay here. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just praise Him with me. Let's open up to the work of the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know, with that back hurt and everything, I thought I had a real snowball in, but with this message, and then it just all melted and it was gone. Have you ever had something you just really feel like God wants, and then you just, it's all gone? But the Lord knows what He's doing. And the Lord knows how to come into the situation and bring wholeness and bring help and bring the needed things that you have. See, He's got all those things that He brings. He brings the context. He brings all this stuff. He brings the favor. He brings the work of the Spirit. He brings all these things. The affirming witness and the decree. And then you come and you say, I got to get in on this. And you declare to the Lord, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let that be the decree of your heart this season. I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Jesus wants to do profound things in and through your life. The Lord wants to impart something special into our lives in this season. I'm feeling it more today because it's been contested. How many of you guys run into little battles and the Lord says, hold on just a minute. Stand fast. I'm going to release something in your life. Let's stand together. Can we do that? I have one other thing, one other little exhortation, and then I want us to open the altars to come down and receive prayer. Just come on down. We'll be agreeing for you. In any place where the Lord highlighted that there's something that He wants to release over your life, come down and we come and agree with you. Okay? There's one other thing. You took the communion, and I felt like the Lord said, I don't want you to enter the Christmas season bitter. I don't want the bitterness of the past to overrule the season. And you've received communion, and there's a washing of way. If you just come into agreement, yes, I forgive those who've hurt me. I receive forgiveness, and I forgive those in the past. There comes a work of God's glory in the soul. And it changes and it roots out that stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our heads. Thank you, Father God. Fall fresh, we pray today, on every heart and every soul. Fall fresh. Let the breath of God come profoundly in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.